Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also catch me on the Game Brain podcast if you like board games. And joining me is the hilarious and wonderful, my work husband, Ronnie Karim. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hi.
I have to say, it's been so wonderful over the past few days. People have just been so nice to us about our appearance on Watch What Happens Live last week. It was just so, so, so fun. So thank you to everyone who has started threads on Facebook and tweeted at us and just written really the nicest, nicest, nicest things. It's like really nice. It's so nice. But we had a blast.
Yeah, it was a really good time doing that. So thanks for having us on there, suckers. Can't believe you let us back on, but thanks for doing it. And yeah, thanks everybody for being so kind.
So kind. And it's also, you know, it's interesting. You know what? Facebook today rang up a memory for me that today is the 4-year anniversary of when we did our show at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. So that was our first really big show where we realized that we could, like, you know, that there was more to it, to this podcast, than us just, you know, sitting here on Skype, which is what we're doing right now. But that was a huge turning point in the podcast. And for me, I feel like our career and kind of my life. So it's kind of amazing that 4 years have gone by. And, like, who would have thought 4 years ago that in the same breath that we're talking about, like, oh, it's been 4 years, that we're also saying it was so cool to be on Watch Happens Live. I don't think we ever thought we'd ever be guests on that show or have any of the things that have happened, the touring and all that stuff. We just never thought. And I know that I, for one, am super, super, super excited for us to get go back on tour. And this is not a tee up to any sort of announcement, by the way. It's just me being sentimental. So no one get too excited.
No, it's just your Oscar acceptance.
Just
speech.
My Oscar.
Just
yeah.
Take the stage. Darling.
I'm never going to win an Oscar, so I'm going to take any opportunity to give an Oscar speech.
Well, hopefully in 4 years, I can say this is our 4-year anniversary of you saying you're never going to win an Oscar. And look at you with an Oscar.
Accepting a Clio Award. Oh, Oscar. Yeah.
Well, this weekend was my mom's 70th birthday. So wow. Congrats on, you know, just sticking through it. For 70 years. And, you know, my mom is basically the redheaded 70-year-old version of Stassi Schroeder. So that was fun. It was a weekend of, it's my fucking birthday. It's like, okay. I don't want to play canasta for another 4 hours. It's my fucking birthday. So I just started sending my sister Stassi gifts back and forth.
Yeah, I thought the redheaded version of Stassi was just Stassi's mom. So maybe Stassi's mom and your mom are the same person.
Yeah, my mom would buddy up to Kristen to get back at me. But, you know, happy birthday to her. So that was fun. And, you know, now I'm just mentally and emotionally exhausted. So that's where I am, everybody.
It's been a very exciting, emotional week. And here we are. And we get to kick off a brand new week today because we're starting Real Housewives of Potomac, episode 2. That's what we're recapping today. I don't think we have anything else to promote, right? Just the usual stuff. Patreon,
no,
social
let's get
media.
To it.
Yeah. So Real Housewives of Potomac got so good. So good. It opens up where we left off, which is Karen saying, you've got a hot box and you went to Sing Sing or whatever it was that
fire
she said.
Hot box, fiery box. Want to talk about your fiery box? You're a broken whore from Hampton University, and that's why we went to Sing Sing.
Literally made no sense. And Ashley's like, Sing Sing and hot box, is this just like old lady code for something? What is this?
Yeah, it's even more devilish with the suck of the dentures that Karen's really, I mean, she's really sucking on those things this year. Every time she says something, it's like, oh, we went to Sing Sing. Like a little click of the dentures in there, like just as a snap, you know?
Yeah, she has to stop eating shredded pork before she films because she just spends like all her moments on camera trying to get the little pieces of pork out of her teeth.
So Mia, you know, she's first season, so she's really working on her confessional, one-liners. But she's like, but she's saying Hot Pocket? That's what I learned. Okay, you know, you keep going. Yeah. So Robin's like, what is this? Some kind of TikTok thing? What are you saying? Sing, sing. Is that from TikTok?
I didn't totally understand that. And then the chef suddenly interrupts him and says, well, we have a walnut, blue cheese, and pomegranate salad for you all. I'm like, oh, thank you. And Giselle, like, tears into her salad and takes a few bites. And then she's like, okay, I'm ready to fight again. She goes, what the fuck is Sing Sing? What lie are you starting now? Wah.
Yeah. And this poor chef is, I don't think it's the actual chef who keeps announcing things, but Wendy keeps saying it like it's going to be the chef. She's like, hold on, please. Chef Tia needs to announce the next meal. Chef Tia, announce the next meal. She's like, we will be having a walnut blue cheese salad. Okay, thank you, Chef Tia. Like, what, Sing Sing? Yeah. You're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. Is that from TikTok?
yeah, she keeps going, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. And Mia's like, that's like a bop, you know, you're a liar, you're a liar. And Giselle just turns to her and goes, I'm glad she has you as a friend because she doesn't have any others.
Oh, this is why they call you the first lady from hell.
Also known as Sing Sing. Sing Sing, Hampton University, also the most hellish university in hell in Sing Sing.
So Mia's like, all right, let me say something. Look, I know you, I love you, and I respect you, Karen, but I'm just meeting Giselle, and I'm like a good judge of character, and she has a beautiful heart. And Ashley's like, oh, okay. She just kind of winces and starts drinking her water. And then we get the clown music. Yes. And the clown music comes in because this is where Karen can't decide whether she's a good person or a terrible person. So she just pretends to be both at the same time. She's like, I believe that she's a good person too.
She's like, I used to believe that too. And so Wendy is like really pissed. Wendy's like angry at Mia for some reason. Maybe it's because Mia does bad math, but Wendy is like, you know, I would think you would stick up for your friend who you brought to this event. That's what she tells us. So she has a real bee in her bonnet about Mia. And Karen says,
new girl alert.
Yeah, exactly. And Karen goes, for me, it was when Ray said to you, you're a good looking woman, but you need to settle down because your looks will fade. And so we see 4 years. I can't believe it's already been 4 years when Ray told her that at like the go-kart place or something. And Giselle's response to that was, he will be buried 6 feet under before this fades. You basically wish death upon my husband. Of course, Karen takes it to that place.
She brings up a fight from 4 years ago to get Giselle, which is so funny and perfect.
Yeah. And so Giselle just turns it into like a death threat fight, by the way. It's not a death threat.
Wishing death upon my husband. And Giselle's like, oh God, Karen, just shut up.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Well, you said it, and that for me was the beginning of the end. Just whatever, Karen.
Why not address it then?
Because then my children were young and they were hurting, and they're not young now. And we get a clip back of Raven standing there watching while Karen and Ray make out awkwardly at their Indian party.
Yeah, and it says Raven 19 and Brandon 27.
They were young. They were just babies. Oh my God, that making out at that party was hilarious.
I know. My children were young. I didn't want to bring it up that there was a death threat against their father because they were already hurting so much. I mean, poor Raven, she couldn't drink. And Brandon, he's only been able to rent a car for 2 years. He was hurting.
Just take your hot box and your lying ass. What we're not going to do is we're not going to sit here and attack me. Now, this is an episode where everybody starts announcing what we're not going to
do.
This goes on for the rest of the episode. What we're not going to do, well, what we are going to do, what we're not going to do.
It's literally my favorite thing. I love it when people do that. It's like everyone on this cast plus Bethany Frankel. Bethany does that also. You know that, like, she's like, that's actually what she does. At Starbucks. Okay, what we're not going to do is give me a latte again, okay? Because you know what? I didn't order a latte. Okay, so what we're not going to do is we're not going to give me a grande. We're not going to give me a tall. What we're not going to do, we're not going to not give me those. Okay, we're going to give me a venti, okay? Because what we're not going to do is give me the wrong size again of a type of drink I don't want. You know, I don't even know why I'm here anymore, okay? What we're not going to do is stand here in this line anymore. It's like, okay, thanks for coming in.
Yeah. So Wendy's like, in all fairness, the convo is between Karen and Giselle. So let it stay there because we shouldn't gang up. Oh, who are you, Wendy? Be quiet, okay? Wendy's ready to go this whole time. She's not even waiting for a real fight. She's just going to attack this other lady. And I think it's because Wendy was so excited about her plastic surgery. Like, it was this huge deal and everybody was going to ooh and ah. And then Mia was like, I've had 97 plastic surgeries just this morning. And she's like, how dare you?
Yeah. Well, also because Wendy is trying to rebrand her plastic surgery as this like deeply empowering thing, which admittedly it could be, but she's really trying to do this like my boobs are really an extension of my professorship. And then Mia comes in like, just like this sort of like a generally kind of trashy looking, you know, and Wendy, I don't think Wendy wants to be Mia, and I think that she's like upset that she's like in
right
that
she wants space. She wants time to brag about her PhD double D's, okay? Right. She's not here for your D's. You know, for your quote-unquote bartender at a strip club shtick, okay,
right,
lady?
Exactly.
So Karen's like, well, Robin, this is enough, Robin, okay? Because Robin is saying, it's not even a gang up. You know, she's immediately standing up for Giselle. So Karen's like, Robin, this is enough, Robin. And I'm the one walking down the aisle again. When's your wedding, Robin? Mm-hmm. When's your wedding, Robin? How old will my children be during your wedding, Robin? Mm-hmm.
And Robin's like, oh, well, my wedding's after COVID. When's yours?
Well, it will be soon in a protected environment where loved ones can come together and celebrate La Dame fragrance, a wonderful fragrance that's available in Caldors and Sam Goody. And we're going to come together and you can wish us well at a real wedding and a real, real relationship.
Right. She doesn't want to say after COVID too, because that's what Robin said. So she's like,
when protected environments can be protected and safely mask wedding.
What, like in a rainforest? We talk about a protected environment.
So she's basically saying, Robin, not that you don't have a real relationship. And she's like, I'm not saying that. You are saying that. That's exactly
I'm
what you're saying.
My
you can't be
hurting.
Both. So Karen tells us, if they don't want to get married, then say that. Or just say, I don't want to get married, and take that ring back to the pawn shop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Ashley, so Ashley then starts saying, well, you know, if Karen...
No, wait. Everybody, stop. Chef Tia, please tell us what we're going to be having right now. She's like, we're going to be having rainbow trout with a Cajun cream sauce. Okay, you can leave now. Back to the fighting, everybody.
So Ashley's like, well, if Karen and I can get to a better place, I think that like for really anybody can get to a better place. And Giselle's like, oh, thanks.
No thanks.
Or no thanks.
So Wendy's like, okay, that's good enough. I just want everyone to remember why we're here. I want everyone to look at my body again. So she stands up and now she turns to show her butt. And Robin's like, wait, did you get your butt done? Is this TikTok?
Yeah. Is this TikTok? And now she admits that she did get her butt done. And so Mia is like, are you that insecure that you have to wait for me to admit that my ass is done before you could admit that you did yours? No. Because you notice that like Mia kind of swallows her words a little bit. And I say that as someone who swallows all his words.
Noted.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Wendy pulls out a bunch of cupcakes, the cupcakes we saw last week that have like the nipples on it, and she's like, everyone bite down on my nipple, and and, you know, eat this nipple cupcake. And then there's also a boob cake as well. She's like really, really into, she's just really into this boob moment. And
she's really leaning into
it. She's leaning into it. And I think that she definitely feels like Mia has stolen her thunder, because Mia has had all of this done plus like 10 other, she like literally has PVC in her, you know? So I think she's just, she's threatened.
Mia has a full head, you know, created out of like twisty ties and rubber, you know, rubber glue.
There's like gutter attachments in there. And I'm like, I mean, can you tell I just was in the hardware store yesterday? I'm like, oh, that was in Mia. That was in Mia.
Yeah. Okay. So then Mia jumps up and everybody's getting ready to leave because they're like, okay, the booby cake came. We've got a 3-hour drive home. Thanks. Thanks for having us all the way over here to celebrate
your boobs,
tits, which we all have. Okay. Yeah. So then they get up to leave and Mia goes up to Robin and Giselle and she's like, oh my God, it was so nice to meet you both. I'll give you a call. And wait, should I give you my phone number? Robin's like, what's your last name? And so Wendy sees her getting phone numbers and Wendy's like, true friendship is about loyalty and Mia is not showing any loyalty to Karen.
It's like, I don't know why all of a sudden Wendy cares about loyalty to Karen when she's, you know, she and Karen have not gotten along. And all of a sudden now she's just trying to find some sort of like moral high ground to go after Mia. That sounds a little loftier than you got boobs before me, you know?
Right. Well, this is the old argument that not we personally have, but every Housewives show has this issue. And, you know, I've talked about it with weight. Like when you're overweight and you lose 5 pounds, suddenly everybody around you is obese. It's like, why can't you lose? And it's kind of like this with plastic surgery. You know, she's so used to having judged people with plastic surgery that now she's had it and she's like super judgmental. She hasn't been able to let go of the judgmental part of it yet because she's commenting on it constantly. It's like, babe, you just got a lot done. You can't come out here criticizing everybody's plastic surgery now. Like, it doesn't make her less of a person that she's had 97 surgeries, you know, just because you've had fewer surgeries.
Yeah. I mean, it might make her sort of less than a person, like, actually physically, because who knows what was taken out and put it in. But, like, you know, but, like, in terms of, like, as a philosophical statement, that's correct. And also, I want to point out, like, wasn't it last season Wendy was brought in as Candace's friend and, you know, she wound up being friends with other people in the cast that Candace was beefing with. Like, it's, I mean, let's just like not be ridiculous about this. Okay. Mia is a new cast member. She's going to get people's phone numbers. I mean, she's going to shoot with them. Adding someone to your contacts list is not a declaration of loyalty. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. So then Mia is in the car, and this is now the next day or whatever. So Mia is in her car, and she's talking to Joy, who basically runs her business, I'm assuming. Yeah. And she's like, Joy, there's a couple of things we need to speak about before we get too far in the construction of business back pain, adjustments. I'm a boss. Yeah. I'm a business boss.
You're looking at a born and raised DMV girl, which, oh God, I know what DMV stands for, but man, I was really hoping it was that she was like born in a DMV and just like raised like below the camera that takes people's photos for their licenses. Like that was like the realm of her childhood. But no, it's like really
her big housewives personality trait is making people wait until their number is called. She's like, I will fight with you. You are going to wait for your number behind the yellow line. All right.
Yeah. Her personality is making people look at a site chart. So,
so well, you're mad at parallel parking. Take that, bitch. Fail.
Sometimes I wonder what my life would be like in a parallel universe, but then I realize it's just me thinking about parallel parking. So, she's like, I didn't grow up with all this. I earned it. And then we see her house, her giant penthouse. And we may have talked about this in the trailer. I don't remember, but either way, my eye went right towards that enormous, oversized, decorative clock that looks like it was pulled off the front of Big Ben. You know I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I know you hate a giant clock face.
I hate a giant clock, ornate clock.
So then we meet her kids. All I paid attention to was Juju because I love her.
Yeah.
Who's three. And she's we're getting her story, basically. She's like, when I first met Gordon, I was concerned with the age difference. Like, ew, gross. Like, he's my dad. But I got over that when I found out how fucking rich he was. So, made three kids with them. Oh, well, one kid. I've got two from my current marriage and one from a previous marriage.
Yeah, and I mean, God, Gordon's so sexy. Who couldn't turn down free fish sticks for life? Like, ma'am, he's not the Gordon of Gordon's Fishermen. Sorry. Oh. So what am I doing
well,
here?
Well, like, so the kids are running around the kitchen being crazy while she's trying to make pancakes or something, because this is her first housewife scene at home, so she can't just pour some cereal into a cup and be like, shut the fuck up in your room or I'm beating you with a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mom. Gordon's getting all annoyed, you know, and she's like, well, I'm trying to be mindful because Joy is calling me business. Hi, Joy Business.
Joy is sort of like in that same realm as Charlie of Charlie's Angels, like just this this voice on the other side of the phone that's just doing everything, but we don't really know what. So she's just doing like, I'm a businesswoman, business, the joint chiropractic, joint. And then she tells Juju, she's like, who runs the world? And the daughter goes, bad guys. I was like, well, you know, she's onto something.
Not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not wrong. And Mia's like, you're probably right. So Gordon's like, listen, you're taking a call when you're supposed to be spending time with the kids. I'm not really sure what I think about this child raising. And she's like, well, guess what? I've got another one scheduled. It's called being a sob. No, being a boss. Read it backwards. I'm a boss.
Yeah, and then they have to break the news to Juju that there's no sprinkles for the cupcakes. And she's like, I want sprinkles! And she goes screaming off to her bedroom. It's a scene that played out many times in the youth of Benjamin Mandelker.
I know, I was going to say, it's like my biography.
I know. Having a tantrum about sprinkles. I've been there.
I'm like, well, hold on, I have to put this phone call on hold. Oh my God, I'm really trying to balance mom, CEO, wife, boss. I love that her idea of being a boss is just taking a lot of calls.
I know, while making cupcakes.
That's all it is. Yeah. It's just making calls at all times.
And making someone else do stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
So then we go over to Candace, who's just hugging a child and being like, I'll see you later. And I'm like, wait, are there more bonus children that have come into her life? But no, Candace is filming. She's on a pilot shoot and she's shooting, as she puts it, I am shooting a pilot for a show that's being shopped around. which is like the most vague way to say I answered an ad on Craigslist.
Yeah. I'm doing some free shit for someone in film school.
Yeah, basically. It's like I'm doing something at the local community college for a project. Yeah. A pilot that's being shopped around. Okay, we'll see you on HBO Max.
And it's, you know, it's like her actor studio moment. She's like, the Lord saw fit to heal my bowels up. And now that I'm better, I'm shooting. It's like, wow. So, yeah, she's taught. It's a sad show, not a funny show that they're doing, because her kid in this movie is sad, but she doesn't know why. And Candace doesn't know why she doesn't need help with her homework. And I was like, I cannot wait to see this. I cannot wait to see this show.
Well, the kid's like,
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Well, then the next scene, the kid is like, yeah, my stepmom tried to help me with my homework, but I told her it had to do with subtraction, and I just knew it was a lost cause.
Mm-hmm. So Candace is like, I've always loved acting, and the pandemic showed me you don't have time to be afraid. How did the pandemic show you this? You've known Ray and Karen for years. I mean, if that doesn't show you don't have much time left, I don't know what does.
I mean, you're a pageant girl who loves to sing everywhere, and now you're suddenly realizing that you love acting. I mean, how? Like, you obviously love being on a stage in the spotlight. Like, what was it about the pandemic that just, like, awakened her inner, you know, thespian? Why? It was TikTok. She did a lot of TikTok videos, and she was like,
is
you know
it
what?
TikTok?
Is it TikTok? She realized she could be an actress. And we see, like, a little bit of a slideshow of her project. She was in Water in a Broken Glass, and The Citizen, and Family Reunion, which is the only show that has, you know, the only one I've actually heard of, you know.
So then she FaceTimes Chris and checks on her kids, because she's leaning into this now I have kids storyline, like Wendy is leaning into her now I have boobs storyline. This is like Candace's thing, and she's going to hammer it into the ground as much as she can. She's like, look at me. I've always been a mother. Don't you remember? So she calls. They talk about the kids, and we find out that Chris is her husbander.
Yeah, husbander. She's very proud. She tells him, I haven't flubbed any lines in this very well-written script, and I'm not trying to be stressed out about this. I mean, but I have to finish 5 homework assignments also. I'm like, are you really, like, you're getting an MBA from Howard, and you're also going to do this random ass, you know, from the producers of Undressed on MTV, like, rink-eating production too? You're really going to do this? You're going to get in that way? Okay, fine.
Do it all, Candace. That's what I say. So, yeah, she talks about she's got her acting career, her MBA from Howard that she's working on. She's trying to get her album done. It's like a lot, guys.
She's a renaissance.
And he's like, this is your husband you're stepping in just to let you know these are things you asked for, so get to it.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, he's like, it's a role that needed to be filled and I have time, which is, that's what you always want from your representative, someone who just...
I have no experience
to do anything else. No one asked him to do anything else, so he just decided to represent you. That's what you want.
Yeah. And I like when he said, you know, I have zero management qualities as far as this goes, because he was supposed to run that restaurant, right?
Yeah.
So they talk about how moody she is, and she's like, no, you're moody. And they both need a purse to the head, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So the next scene is Ashley with baby Dean. Now, Ashley is about to pop. Her baby's about to come. And still, she has to kowtow to this goddamn child and sit on a tiny stool. Okay?
And were you talking about Michael, or talking about baby Dean? I can't tell.
Baby Dean. Wah, wah. Wah, wah. She sits on one of those tiny little baby stools. Like, no, teach Dean to climb a ladder to the couch, okay?
Yeah.
You are pregnant. You're already teaching this man that you'll do anything to serve him. That's what's going wrong in this house in the first place, ma'am.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley is so, like, she, like, you know, there's some women who they're pregnant, but, like, there's some women you're like, you are literally about to explode with baby right now. You are so, she is, like, seconds away, right? And this poor woman, she's going across, you know, she's going to Karen's house later. She went to Wendy's. Like, she's just going everywhere. I'm like, give this woman a Barca lounger, for crying out loud. So, so Sheila, her mom, shows up, and she's like.
And Sheila comes over without a wig on. And I'm like, was she cut off? Now I'm feeling sad for Sheila. I'm like, give Sheila some money. Why does Sheila have to wear a ponytail over here? What's happening in this house that you people aren't telling me?
Well, she's like, so how's Michael doing? And Ashley goes, oh, he's doing really good. He's taking my phone calls on the first ring now. I'm like, divorce this man, please.
This is sad.
This is so sad. That is, like, it should be like, he's doing really good. And we just went, like, I just had the 5th massage in a row that he bought me or something. Like, it's not like he deigns to answer her call on the first ring.
Yeah, like, he's doing good. He got me an actual human-sized chair to sit in, okay?
Yeah.
He's doing really well.
He's doing
not
good.
Not he answered the phone.
He's doing good. He stopped pressuring me into sex when I'm physically uncomfortable and just want to have my feet up. He's doing good.
Yeah, and Ashley tells us that Dean really helped her mom and Michael get closer. And she's like, they even hugged recently. Like, okay, you know that you're making me sad, right? What's going on here? Why are you making me sad? Do you want me to like your husband or not? Because sometimes I feel like she's like trying to get me to really like Michael, and then she says all this stuff. She has to know how sad this comes off, right?
I feel like she is. I mean, I have to credit her for her optimism. I feel like she eats moldy bread and is like, yeah, but I love the color green, so I'm okay with it. It's like, no, but it's moldy.
But so is cheese.
It's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So they talk about, let's see, they talk about how Daisy, the nanny, is coming over, and she's going to spend some time with Dean, so Dean's used to her when the new baby comes. And the mom asks a question basically everybody's asking. She's like, so are you glad she's not a supermodel?
Yeah. And Ashley's just saying how last year she had such postpartum depression that this year she's going to get help, aka a nanny. And then she starts talking about her sex drive and how her sex drive is still there, but, you know, she's like just deeply uncomfortable and she's super pregnant. And she goes, but God gave me more than one hole, which is sort of a funny thing to say to your mom. But also, like, what this poor woman, I hate that she is so afraid that her husband is going to cheat on her if, God forbid, she does, like, not, you know, like, not do anal with him, you know? I'm not shaming anal or anything. I'm just saying, like, that is fucked up. Like there should be.
Well, that's the last thing I would imagine that you'd want while you're pregnant, too. I mean, it's probably her ears. You know, she could be talking about any old.
That's true. Michael, it could be her mouth. Care, it could be, just be her mouth, to be honest. That actually, it totally would make sense.
Michael could just be fucking an ear and slipping a dollar down her butt crack. You know, we don't know.
Yeah.
So the mom's like, yeah, well, when we please each other, we don't go looking for other fulfillments, which I really don't love that advice from my mom either. Like, good. Good. Now he won't cheat. The whole scene made me uncomfortable and sad, basically.
Yeah, I just feel like Michael can just, like, hold on for a little bit. That's okay. Like, you can do that because, as far as I can tell, he's not carrying a sentient being in his stomach, or not really the stomach, in his.
Yeah, but Michael's at that age, you don't know how long it's going to keep working. You know what I mean? It's like when you have a carton of milk in the fridge and you know it's going bad within 2 days, you're going to eat all the cereal you possibly can because you don't want to waste that carton of milk. I feel like sometimes that's what Michael's going through.
Yeah. You know? And by the way, this really hits home because I poured myself some cereal today and I'd never had almond milk that had gone bad, but now I have. And I've experienced that.
Oh, that's not a good experience.
It's not. It was like, I was like, why is my cereal taste so bitter? And I ate like half of it before I realized it was the almond milk.
Then you started fucking Dom's ears immediately.
And then I was like,
why am I doing this? Why?
Give me a hole. So then we go over to Robin at Giselle's house. And Giselle has installed some sort of like grand Notre Dame cathedral bell. It's like, bong, 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 bong. Which is, admittedly, is better than the standard Ring doorbell of doo-doo-doo, doo-doo-doo. But, like, literally, it's, like, loud and echoey. You're not in Paris, okay? You're not on, like, you're not in the middle of the Seine, okay? You're Giselle. You're in wherever you are. You're not a cathedral.
Is that from TikTok? So, Robin comes over and she's like, wow, I'm so happy to be here. And Giselle says, yes, well, this might have taken me 2 years, but I'll call me Madam President. Because I'm in the West Wing.
Yeah, so apparently the West Wing is just like riddled with Mackenzie Childs shit everywhere. That's what we learned. And Z Gallery interiors.
On a Versace bedspread, I mean.
It's just like everything.
Do people outside Bravo buy this shit, really? I've never known anyone in real life who walks around with like Chanel earrings worn backwards, like Luann last week, or a Versace bedspread. Like, who the fuck buys this?
Yeah, people have made fun of Giselle's fashions for many years, but I think that like we never realized how the interior design is really where the problem is. That's
we've realized. Yeah, last year that's all we talked about. The whole thing, walls. It's the whole package.
Yeah,
it's the whole package.
It's awful.
And even the fan, even the ceiling fan is the tackiest. It's like a regular ceiling fan, but then it's got a chandelier thing below it.
It's just all it's the whole thing. It's like, you know, when you go to a party. You know, when or you've just seen on these shows when they're like, we got to make a party, and the party planner comes in and brings in that rented furniture and they set everything up. It's like someone took cocktail party decor and made a house out of it. It's like, that's like fine for a party, but like for a house, it just doesn't work.
So Robin's like, oh, it's the first time I've seen it. And she tells us that the interior is great, but the exterior is really ugly because it just looks like two houses kind of shoved together.
Yeah.
And
it looks like one house is actually, I mean, to take it back to Michael and Ashley, it looks like one house is giving anal to another house.
I know the main house is like, well, this hurts, but I've got a lot of holes. Get on over here.
The main house is like, well, you know, I just wouldn't. If the new house isn't pleased, it might leave me, so
God. So Giselle tells her, oh, I haven't christened the Versace Comforter yet. Duh. And Robin's like, oh, you said you were going to christen it soon. What's the status on that?
And she says, well, at this point, I think Jamal is actually living in the phone. I'm not seeing this brother. Communication has been falling apart. And intimacy isn't there.
Isn't that funny? Because Karen said he was a man who lived in the phone. And now Giselle is unironically saying, I think he actually lives in the phone. Nah. She says that she's just worried because the intimacy isn't there and she might need to take a step back. And will he be in my life? Of course. But should we be in a relationship? I don't know if now's the time.
So Robin's like, well, I think the thing is that they realized they were apart during the pandemic and they were okay with it. And I just never really felt like they were like deeply in love. And then we see a flashback of like Giselle and Jamal just fist bumping to be like, cool, we're back together. It's like, no, of course they weren't back in love. She just got sick of dating awful people and just decided this is going to be her lot in life. She just settled.
I'm wondering if Giselle is just not saying, I want to be alone. That's it.
I don't know.
Maybe she's got like a Ronnie in her that's like, I just want to be alone. That's my choice. Because then everybody will give her shit and be like, you can't just be alone.
It could be that. But because they do put like an extraordinary amount of pressure on each other to be in, you know, good relationships. I mean, all that talk with Karen earlier about like, well, is I'm in a real relationship. So, like, I think there is that pressure, but I also think that Giselle is, like, has bad taste in men. I think that she's a bad judge of character, probably.
She has a bad picker?
Bad picker, yeah. I would say based on just who she's picked.
Yeah. So, she gives her the tour and all that stuff, and then they talk to Candace on FaceTime, give Candace a little tour, and then they start talking about the booby party and how Wendy got new boobs and new butt, and then they met this new girl, Mia, and she got her boobs done, her clit done, her butt done, her toes done, her ears done, and start making fun of all of that. And Giselle's like, yeah, within 20 minutes, we heard about her clitoris.
Yeah, and they're just like, yeah, they were making fun of Mia, bragging about what she's had done. And then Robin's like, and then Karen called Giselle an alcoholic with a hot box from Sing Sing. Candace is like, what? She basically throws down her phone. She's like, what? And Giselle goes, well, I told her she's drunk, so she's mad. Candace is like, okay.
And Giselle says, until that woman apologizes to me, I don't need to ever be around Karen. Robin's like, yeah, and then she talked about wine. She's like, well, you bought a house, and she will never buy a house because she owes taxes. And I can definitely say Ray will not buy a house before he dies. There, I said that.
Yeah, another death threat from Giselle. And Robin goes, don't say that, oh God. So then we hear,
Ray,
I need help with the new bed, Ray. I need help. I gotta keep the bed looking romantic, Ray, because our children are hurting. They've seen such bad bedspreads. They're hurting, Ray. Do it for the children.
It's lumpy, Ray.
And Ray's like, why do we need all these pillows? And then we see the clip of Karen when they said, Karen, you dry hump your pillows? And she's like, well, I don't dry hump them. I hump them and they're no longer dry.
By the way, they make a very good, they really make their bed well. I was like, I kind of want some tips from Karen on how to make a bed. They did their bed so well. I feel like every time I make my bed, it sort of looks a little lumpy and uneven. But she was like hotel quality. I think she needs to do a tutorial on a platform of some sort.
She probably will. Ben, just someone pass along the idea. I could see Karen doing that. Welcome to my new YouTube. Yeah. They do a horror close up on all the pillows, like a horror movie, thinking of Karen coming all over these pillows. So then she sits down to give Ray another talking to about relationships he does not give two shits about. She's like,
no, Ray, I know you're dying to know, but Wendy's party it was a fight with Giselle, and I can't say I'm proud of my part.
And then it cuts to again, they tried out that footage again of her saying, she has a hot box and you're a broken whore from Hampton University, and that's why we went to Sing Sing.
In the Hugo justice system.
She goes, I feel like
the chong chong is like her denture snaps.
I feel like I shouldn't have gone as hard as I did because that divorce, I mean, she lost everything. Poor little Giselle. You lose that in love and then you let him back in when you're just a pathetic old soul when you do that. And I think she's not dealing with it well. So right now I'm the target.
So Karen is now, she's now reframing this as Giselle is this pathetic doormat who let back in Jamal and now she's tortured. So she's hilariously... hilariously just basically saying, look how sad and pathetic and lame
right.
Giselle is right now.
I mean, what do you do to a wounded person, Ray? Shut them out or reclimate to them?
Reacclimate them. That. How about that? Reacclimate. Oh, or you can reclimate them.
Reclimate to them.
Hello, Giselle. It's Karen. I know you don't want to hear from me right now, but it's a partially sunny day. With a 30% chance of rain.
Giselle, I know it's been a little cold as it's wintertime, but, you know, in a different part of the world, it's actually summertime. How about that? I'm going to reclimate you.
So she's going to throw... This is so shady. I'm going to throw a love party for the ladies. It's all about love, and everyone's invited. They can bring their husbands if they have them, but if they're Giselle's, sad, pathetic Giselle's, they can bring no one, and we'll ask her to get our drinks. I'm a good person, Ray. I'm a good person.
Well, yes, if they don't have anyone, I have this... stick figure I made out of some popsicle sticks and has a little paper head on it. And you can say, this is your boyfriend for the love party. I have this one ready for Giselle.
So Ray's like, well, let's not get into craziness. And she says,
well, as long as I have your love and support, Ray, I love you, Ray.
He's like, I just want to go golfing. So
please get off me.
So then we're at Wendy's house and her sister Ivy comes over and then her mom Susan and the brother Jordan, and Wendy's serving all sorts of Nigerian food and it all looks delicious and everything. And so Susan's asking about the boobs and she's like, my breast is like flapjack. Do you want me to show you? I want to have a boob job. I want a boob job. And she starts talking about how she desperately wants a boob job, and she's like, oh, and by the way, you're all gonna pay for it, and I'm gonna give you until the end of September, and then I'll sue you guys if you don't pay for it.
Yeah. So Wendy thinks it's funny that her mom doesn't want her to stop being a professor, but she's fine with her getting her boobs done. She's like, ain't that some shit?
Yeah.
So she has an announcement. It's Wendy's big announcement. You know, she decided last year that she wanted more than just being a professor, and she wanted more than just being a news commentator. So we're all waiting to hear what massive step she's about to take in her life. Everybody, yeah. Stand by.
I thought she was going to say she's going to start like a political podcast, or she has some gig on MSNBC, or maybe she's going to be even teaching some class in some place that's not in a quote-unquote ivory tower, but that way she can, you know, reach people who haven't been able to historically afford that. I thought it was going to be something like that, but you know what it is?
Candles!
Candles! It's candles.
Wow. She goes, yeah, I want to start my own home essential line. And her mom goes, oh, God help me.
Yeah, when she said essentials, I worried because, you know, that was Monique's thing, the essential oils and the bath bombs and essential all of that wax stuff. But she's starting with a candle. So she brings out the candle and she's like, well, it's called Oya because that means gift to God. And, you know, I picked the color of the lid and I mixed the scents. That's how far I've gotten. It's like, oh, no, you can't do this.
No, Wendy, you're not supposed to be a Sonia. You have 4 degrees. You're a professor. You're like, you're smart and accomplished. Why are you...
Candles?
Oh, theme. You got theme.
I mean, at least make them lawyer themed. Like maybe one candle you can give to somebody where you could be like guilty.
Yeah.
Or one says innocent, or one says like objection. I mean, something, but just completely leaving it all behind for candles.
Candles. And it's like she got like her boobs done, her butt done, and now she's doing candles, and she hasn't even come up with a business plan. She's just making candles and hoping the rest falls into place. It's like, oh God, it's so sad when the Bravo curse just hits someone who's like educated and you're like just educated, accomplished, and could do like really, really big things. And you're like, oh no, that's sad.
Like, but I could sell these on Instagram, make my candle money or whatever.
And she keeps trying protect it from criticism. I forget what the phrase is for that. By kind of saying things like, I want to just make people think outside the box of what a professor can be. You know, people always think this is what someone can be, but I'm going to show them I can do all sorts of things. So it's almost like if you were to criticize this candle making endeavor, you're really criticizing, you know, her, almost like her womanhood, or, you know, you're in the box and you're a closed minded person because you don't support the candle. It's, you know, it, that she's sort of trying to pull that. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to fall for that. Like, this is stupid.
Yeah. So she still needs 20 grand. So she's hoping she can get it from Eddie.
Yeah.
So then we go out to Emily's house. I think Emily. Wait, who's Emily?
We go to Ashley's
apartment. Oh, Emily is Ashley's doula. Okay, so we're at Ashley's house, and she's talking to Emily, her doula. And Ashley's talking on the phone about keeping her placenta. So she's like, after I give birth and the placenta comes out, then they just deliver it to me. And Karen walks in like, hello, Ashley, it's me, Karen.
Surely I'm not interrupting any sort of benign conversation that has nothing to do with bodily fluids that you might be eating at some point. Surely not that.
Okay, how often do I take the placenta pills again?
And Karen's like, bwah.
I gave birth naturally twice. Never said hello to my placenta. I said bye, 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 placenta.
Mm-hmm. So Karen brings over some of those little delicious chocolates for her invitation.
Ferrero Rocher.
Ferrero Rocher's, which I also had this weekend.
Yum.
They are quite delicious. Ferrero Rocher's. Who knew?
Yeah, I knew.
What a coincidence.
I definitely knew. You know, it was a big episode for dainty gifts in cube-sized boxes, you know, between the candle and the Ferrero Rocher's. Like, just everything in this episode was in a little square box.
Yeah. So, let's see, where are we?
So she gives the postpartum,
eating placenta, giving birth naturally twice. Oh, yeah, okay.
I don't want to bond with it, chew on it, or put it back in my body, says Karen, talking about placenta.
And then she gives Ferrero Rocher's, which is, you know, I don't know. I just think, like, the placenta to Ferrero Rocher transition was not one I expected.
Yeah, that was quite a jump. Well, I'm having a party, and I want you to know that Michael is welcome to be in our home. And she tells us that she's moving on with Ashley, so she has to move on with Michael as well.
She's alliance building. She's like, okay, I'm going to war with Giselle. I need all the allies I can get, which means I have to just look the other way with Michael because I need Ashley on my side. That's what she's doing. This is like Game of Thrones, okay? And Potomac style.
Game of Crones. Yeah, Game of Crones. So Game Ashley's like,
well, you know, that was sad when we had that hiccup in our relationship. And she's like, and we've come a long way, baby. We've come a long way, baby.
Yeah. And then we see a clip of her in the car yelling at Ashley, going, you can take your fake marriage and shove it up your ass.
Yeah. And Karen says, what I don't want is Giselle and my differences to divide this group. I would hate for that to happen. I would hate for that drunk woman with a hot box, that fire hot box from Hampton University to divide this group. That would be terrible.
Yeah, but those things you said, honey.
It's like, I can hear it. I can take it, Ashley.
It's like, those cut pretty deep, Karen.
And then we see the clip, yeah.
Again.
Hot box, sing, sing. Fiery box, fire box, hot box, sing, sing.
They're going to be pulling that clip out for like several weeks. Months, in fact.
So she's like,
so now all of us are wondering, what does Karen know? What does Sing Sing even mean?
She goes, well, I had to look Sing Sing up. It was a jail in New York. And for me, okay, Sing Sing was a stretch. I thought it went well with the hot box. Did it sound good? Did it sound good?
She literally just said Sing Sing because she heard it somewhere in the past. And just like, you know, just rhythmically, you know, Sing Sing. I was workshopping. I was going to say hot dog. But then that wasn't. I thought Sing Sing had a better sound than hot dog, you know.
And she says, it was so dark. I have a dark sense of humor. Now, on Watch What Happens Live, she said that she thought it was a mental institution. And then now she's saying she doesn't. And now this is Karen, who changes her lies every 2 seconds about what she said and why she said it. But then I thought, did Giselle get put in a mental institution? And now she's not bringing it up because it's too low. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Sing Sing, like, what the hell?
Well, I was going to also say golf club. Like, she has a hot box, and that's why we went to golf club, but it didn't quite work either. I was just really just throwing... I've been working on a lot of different words. Putt-putt, that's why we went to putt-putt. Turns out that's miniature golf, so we're back to golf club again. Or shoo-shoo, like two shoes. You know, I just thought it sounded good.
Corner.
Shee-shoo, that's why we went to shee-shoo.
Corner.
Just a random Sheena popping up from behind the cradle.
Oh, my God.
So then we hear, wah-wah, I'm waiting on a milk delivery in here. It's late. Wah-wah, if it doesn't get here it soon, I'm going on Milk Yelp, and I'm writing a terrible review. Wah-wah, wah-wah.
Wah-wah, less talk, more placenta. Wah-wah, wah-wah, I'll tell you about Sing Sing, more like cry-cry. Wah-wah.
Why, why? That's it.
That's it.
I'm using that next time.
Use that one next
Thank you,
time.
Baby. Don't want to look at you. Can't look at your face, baby. Goodbye. Karen, like, hears the baby cry and just gets up and runs the hell out of there.
Yeah, like, so much for, look how far we've come. I mean, if there's anything that shows how insincere this all is how quick she is to get out of there, you know, the first chance she gets.
Well, in her defense, the baby, Ashley was like, hey, do you want to say hi to Karen, Dean? And he's like, wah. Wah! Wah!
So then Ashley's like, oh, you saw a new face, and you saw a new face, and you're like, oh, I don't know that face. Although Karen always has a new face.
Teaching that baby shade so young.
I know. So now,
Candace with the bonus children
who may or may not have been imported just that way she could get into character for her pilot. I'm not sure. So Candace is she's reading her invitation with Naya, and by the way, it looked a lot like Christmas. There were wreaths up and everything, but this thing is happening around Valentine's Day. I'm a little confused about the timeline that's happening.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it matters.
I don't pay too close attention. Yeah,
I'm not sure it matters, but I just needed to speak. I need to get that on record that I noticed that the holiday decorations were either up way too late or something was awry. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, just think about
that. So Candace is like, well, you know, this could get awkward with Karen, but I can't fight anymore. I just need her to acknowledge my experience was real.
Oh, my God.
And then she does, like, a huge fake tear thing.
For crying out loud. How much longer do we have to experience the realness of your experience? So then we go back to Karen's house where they're getting ready. And
Ray, where are you, baby? You want to make the bed again? Ray!
He's like, I was in there cooking. Just kidding. Just messing with you. She's like, well, it all looks so good. Ray, let's try one of these love potion drinks.
You know, this is a love party, and I know Giselle doesn't have a man, but that might be one of the reasons why for her not wanting to come, because she's manless, which is too bad, because I found a flat Stanley in a book, and I thought maybe I could set her up with that man. Oh, well.
So we see Giselle receiving the invitation and then throwing it away in a trash bag on her front porch.
Yeah, right away.
Oh, and she says, but Robin should still feel free to come. So then we see Robin getting her invite, and she's like, stop spreading the hate. Where does that come from?
Yeah.
TikTok. And Juan's TikTok? Like, I'm not going to that. I'm not going to that.
Well, I knew she wasn't going to come because she's too far up Giselle's bush.
Ding dong. So now we have a scene with Giselle getting food with her kids, getting some Grubhub with her kids.
Yeah.
And Angel's getting her driver's permit. So they're like, haha, we're not going to hang out with you anymore once we can drive around, mother.
Yeah. And I think it was Grace, actually. But they were like, she apparently has like failed her permit like 2 times. I read somewhere or someone told me that kids these days are not eager to get their driver's licenses anymore. Because they just either take Uber or they just don't care. but apparently that's a thing with the youth of America. Youth of America does not want to drive. Huh. God, Kyle Richards has so many things that she can cry about so soon. So then, because you know there'll be a scene, Portia doesn't even want to drive. So I don't know why I'm taking it to Kyle. It's just one of those days. It has nothing to do with literally anything that's happening here.
Always.
Always. So,
because kids don't want to get a damn job, you know? If kids had a damn job, then they had to pay $15 back and forth for their Uber, they would want a car, right? But you don't make your children work. You should always make your children work, people, okay? I believe in child labor. And if you don't, take one good look at your iPhone and tell me you don't believe in child labor, because that's who made your damn iPhone, okay? Put kids to work.
And I'll tell you where they're hiring. Arizona's in the greater Atlanta region, right? Am I right, everyone? So Giselle's doing a confessional with Grace, and they're just like talking, and Giselle's saying something, and Grace just like sips water, and Giselle just turns to her and goes, "I was talking. You're just sipping while I'm talking." Grace is like, "What the fuck, Mom? Wow, you really are a monster."
And so she starts talking to them about how they're going to be dating. But then she's also like, well, you know, listen to who I dated. I dated a gang member. And you shouldn't do that. It was fun, but you shouldn't do it. Yeah. Dated a rapper. Don't date the rappers. Yeah, he was hot. But don't date them either, okay?
And she goes, oh, and stay away from athletes. And Grace is like, no, why? And Giselle says, you know, I was in a relationship with an NBA player, and then he blew out his knee. And then I had to go through all the highs and the lows. And as you know, who wants to deal with that? And they're like, it's called being a relationship, Mom.
You're not very good at emotional support, Mother.
And they're like, your boyfriends are horrible. No. You have terrible taste. You don't know how to break up with anyone.
And they're like, we're not taking your advice. Why don't you listen to our advice? Jeez, you're a mess.
They're like, we can't believe how selfish you are. Like, their dad could have been Michael Jordan or something. And I was like, oh, it was too annoying.
So whiny with his broken ankles. So then we go to Karen's house for her couple's love party. And she's just trying to keep it cash in her tracksuit. And then people start coming over. And Mia's first, because she's the new one. And that's the rule. Newbies always show up on time.
Yeah.
So Mia and G come. And Mia's like, this is my husband, Gordon. But people who love him call him G. And Ray's like, oh, well, I'll call you G then. And you can call me Ray.
Ray is killing it with, like, the dad jokes.
He really is.
And then Karen says, well, my first impression of Gordon is that he's an older man who's parted with his hair. And hopefully Ray will join the bandwagon if he sees enough of those heads. So I guess that she wants Ray to shave his head rather than have, like, his peach fuzz.
So they start talking about golf, and Carol's like, do you play golf? And Mia says, well, when he was married to his third wife, he played every day, but, you know, I'm a boss, so.
Yeah, joint chiropractic. So then Wendy and Eddie show up, and Karen tells Wendy that Robin and Giselle aren't coming, and Wendy goes, oh, well, but this is a couple's thing, right? So it's her being shady as well.
And let's see, Karen's like, well, you know, it would be a beginning. It would be a beginning. I don't know if Candace is going to come, but we need a new beginning on our friendship. And Ashley comes, and Karen's like, well, you know, I'm getting this party on with or without Michael. Okay. Because Michael doesn't come.
Yeah. And Karen thinks that that's weird. And so she keeps saying things like, well, today is a reset. It's a reset button. So let's grab some food, everyone. Everyone grab some food. And then Chris and Candace arrive. And Chris has this ridiculous turtleneck on. And because I forgot, wasn't he wearing a turtleneck at the reunion? He's like going through a real turtleneck phase.
Yeah, he's loving those turtlenecks.
And Candace is trying
Chef Kimberly Valentine, just in case everybody forgot, this is a love party. Mm-hmm.
So Candace is never one to be overly melodramatic about anything. She goes, attending this love lunch for me is proving to myself that I can move forward and heal. I'm like, relax. You're eating some catered food and sitting on a sofa for, you know, 45 minutes. This is, you're not like, this is not Clarice Starling, you know, like going down into the bowels of the FBI to interview Hannibal Lecter. Okay. This is a pretty benign experience.
She says, my back is still healing from the wound of stab. So we get a dun, dun, dun when she comes up. And then, you know, she just hugs and it's like, laughs. It's like nice. Everybody's like, hello, hello. Now, listen, I know that now's not the place, but maybe next week we can meet for coffee, maybe? And she's like, I would love to see your new house. I would love for you to see my new house, Karen. She's like, oh, I'm invited. I'll be there. Reset, everybody. We've reset.
Candace, like the one thing that will heal the heart for Candace is being able to show off her wealth, or at least the presentation of the wealth. So now she's like, I don't have the energy to do the back and forth. So I'm dragging my baggage with me, but I'm here. I came. I'm like, okay, all right. You already got your role on your homemade pilot, so you, this is more than enough of these histrionics.
So Candace goes over and feels Wendy's new booty, and Wendy's like, "Do you like it? I got my money's worth." And Mia meets all, you know, Mia's meeting all the new people or whatever. Candace, and so Wendy is saying, "Ashley, are you nervous about the baby coming?" And she's like, "Yeah." And Mia goes, "Well, for me, I haven't given a vaginal birth. It's all been cesareans."
Yeah, because I always loved Caesar salad, so I thought, why not just, like, go all the way through on a cesarean, right? And Wendy, in a sort of a sly attempt to get Mia to slip up, goes, oh, and how old are you again? And then Mia has this strange response where she goes, oh, well, I had to go back and look at my ID, and I'm 36 years old.
What? Okay. This is terrible, but I actually had to do this.
I've done it before. This weekend.
I thought I was 46 years old. And so I was telling my family, I'm going to be 47 this August, right? So that's getting up there. And my friend Nora was like, what year were you born? I told her. She goes, that's not 46, you're 45. And I said, Mom, I'm 46, right? And she said, no, you're 45. You fucking moron. Wow. I just feel like I won a whole new year to my life. This whole year, I've been like, I'm 46. That's terrible. I'm still 45. I'm going to go out there and fuck some twinks. I'm a baby. I'm young.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, it's hilarious because you've always told me that you were like a year older. So I've always been thinking, wow, isn't it so funny that Ronnie and I are like 4 years apart? And like, it doesn't feel like we're 4 years apart. Like, that's like, that's how it's apart as like my brother is. I no, but now that I know that you're just like,
I'm literally a moron. I'm a moron.
But I've done that too. Yeah, I've definitely had moments like that where I'm like, yeah, well, you know, being 41, I'm like, wait, am I 41? I mean, no, usually it goes the other way where I'm like, oh shit, I'm actually 42.
Oh my God.
Getting years added on.
Feel like I won a prize.
You did.
So Ashley's like,
yeah, that's why I was saying. I mean, I thought you said you got your clitoroplasty, whatever it's called, because I thought a baby's did a number down there. And she's like, oh, well, that's why most women do it, but I just did it because we get it in too much.
Oh gosh. So Mia's turning into this woman, right? She's like, oh yeah, we have sex just too much. And so Candace goes, so the bean is getting beat up? She's like, I've known Mia for 5 seconds and I've learned about her busted bean already. Like, already? This is too much for an actress like me to take on. Too much.
So Candace is like, well, I hear that I missed a scuffle the other day. Karen goes, this is not an event to discuss Giselle and I. What we are not going to do is discuss Giselle and I. Mm-hmm. Today is about love and moving on.
Mm-hmm. Putt, putt. No, still doesn't really work. I was still trying to work that into something.
So Wendy's like, Wendy tells Mia, but you were the one talking about Giselle's great character, and now you're saying that she's a real boss. I mean, it seems like you're changing your tones about it. And Mia says, well, Karen said, if you mish, then mish. If you don't mish, then don't mish. But don't not mish, because mishes ain't mishing. You mish.
Now, hold on. Now, let me set my DVR, because they're rerunning the commish. Hold on 1 second.
I don't want to miss any reruns of Mr. Belvedere, okay?
Streaks on the China never mattered before. Who cared, right? Am I right, ladies?
She said Mish. I'm glad you mentioned that because that bothered me so much that she kept saying Mish instead of Mesh. Although maybe she was saying Mesh and that's just how she says Mesh. She says Mesh as Mish, but she was like,
if you Mish, then you Mish. But if you don't Mish, you don't Mish. So what? You know, you just hope you can Mish with someone, but sometimes you don't Mish. You know, it's like walking through a Mish door. Sometimes you just don't see it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, stop saying Mish.
So she's saying, you know, I mean, I wasn't not Mishing with her, but like anytime you wish, which rhymes with Mish, death on someone's husband, I have to reevaluate Giselle's Mishiter, okay? I have to reevaluate that.
And then we cut to the guys talking in the other room, and Ray's like, look out the window. Sometimes there's up to 12 deer out there.
Yeah, it was like, again, so dad-like. It's like pointing out all the deer that sometimes appear. So then Candace is like, wait, so who wished death on someone? Oh, well, Ray said to Giselle, you're a beautiful woman, and that's not going to last forever. And she said, well, you'll be dead before that happens, and I'm going to be the one that kills you, because I'm going to kill you. You should be dead by now, Ray. That's exactly what she said.
Oh, my gosh. She is twisting this so much. So Candace just laughs, and Karen goes,
what we are not going to do is laugh. That's not cool.
And Mia's like, yeah, Karen said it's not cool, so it's not cool. And Wendy goes, so now you don't think Giselle's got good character?
And she's like, I said that before this dialogue, so that was before the dialogue.
She goes, well, you thought she was good now, but now she's not good. Is that what you're saying?
She's like, like, I guess you're just a pretty face, but you're really mean. She goes, oh, but then I think that after that was when you asked her for a number. And she's like, oh, well, I was just trying to enlighten the air. Which is probably something you should have tried to do, because it was your home.
You know what? I hate ignorant air. I'm glad someone was trying to enlighten it, because that air believes so many incorrect things. Like, that air didn't even want to get vaccinated. I'm like, wow, someone has to enlighten this air right now, okay? Someone has to.
Oh my gosh, Mia is a gift.
She is so good. She is. So, you know what? I like that she just turns it on Wendy, because Wendy is trying with her, and I think that she thinks that Mia is just going to be a pushover, and Mia will not take it, you know? And Ashley says, you know, like, if my friend were in that situation, I'd be giving her the benefit of the doubt rather than the person I just met. And Mia's like, well, why?
And Wendy's like, I see you. Wendy's going, I got you. I see you. I see you like this. I got you. Like doing the snake eyes thing at her. And Mia's like, what's your problem? She goes, well, if you would listen, then you would understand. And Candace goes, woohoo!
What we're not going to be doing here, what we're going to be doing here is being nice, and what we're not going to be doing here is talking about not listening. Okay, so do we understand the two things that we're going to be doing and not doing? Okay.
And Mia's like, well,
I'm done with her anyway. Yeah, I'm done talking to her. And she kind of waves her off. Reset button. Reset. We need a reset button here.
And Wendy says, well, what you're not going to do is, since I don't know you, is we're not going to come for me. I'm like, Wendy, you've literally been coming for this woman. You're making me defend a woman. I feel like this is a woman who's probably like pretty bad. I don't know why. I feel like she's probably like, she's already shown how shady she is, because she's like very slippery with her truth. But like, I'm already in a position of defending her, because Wendy is totally has been coming for her all this time. And then she's going to say that, oh, Mia's not allowed to come for her, when Mia's actually just defending herself against Wendy's obvious shade.
Yes, Wendy's being a dick. So Wendy's waving her finger at her, going like, you are not going to come for me. And Mia goes, I was just telling you what you weren't going to do to me. So you can't say like what I'm not going to do to you, because I'm telling you what you're not going to do to me. And she goes, oh, we are not going to do that. You're not going to do that. Get your hand out of my face. Okay, so this is where it goes crazy, because Wendy has been like waving her finger and stuff in this girl's face, and then this girl's just like talking with her hand, and now Wendy's like, oh, now you have your hand in my face.
Yeah,
well, what's the difference between that and what you were just doing? Get over yourself, lady.
Yeah. And Mia goes, well, it's in your face, what are you gonna do about it? And Candace is like, oh, we're not doing this again, because we get like a brief flashback to the fight. And Karen goes, well, we're giving love. Reset button, giving love. Poop, poop. Golf, golf. Poop, poop. I don't know. What sounds good with that? Giving love.
And Wendy tells us, I will not let Mia get to me because I am Zen Wen. So get your clit done, get your eyebrow done, get your knee done. I don't care. And so Karen's like, we're giving love, love, we're giving love. And Wendy says, I don't need that. I got my husband and my kid, so I don't care. And now she's like, yeah, and your booty. And so she gets up and starts dancing her butt around and stuff.
Yeah. And then Mia's like, well, the fact that Wendy is so bent out of shape means that she's insecure and threatened. And it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with her.
Noted.
Yeah.
So
noted.
So now they're noted. Now they transition. By the way, Mia's also correct. So now they transition.
Yeah, I'm team Mia so far, yeah, on that one.
Me too. So they start playing a game called Happily Married, which is basically just the newlywed game, to find out how much everyone knows about each other. Which to me read very much like Dr. Simone in Mexico on vacation, group therapy session thing that she likes to do. This was like very Dr. Simone right here playing this game. So they're just asking questions and they're doing, it's literally the newlywed game. So the first one is, what's his favorite sexual position? And so Candace.
Mia goes, how do you spell it?
IT.
She can't spell missionary. Yeah. I love it.
So they're all answering. I don't know. Do I have to go through all these answers? It's just kind of like saying, just like answering things. I don't know.
Well, it just gets really good when we get to the who would you, if you could have a pass basically with anyone in this group, who would it be to the guys? So the guys get to pick one wife that they would pick to be their wife if their husbands died or something mm-hmm. like that, right? So then you see Wendy, who thinks that they're not hearing her. She tells Eddie, what does that say? And he goes, not applicable. And she goes, you need to make sure it doesn't lead to something else because that looks like Mia.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Ashley's like, oh my God, I'm so glad Michael isn't here. So,
and Ray chooses Katie.
Yeah, that was the most hilarious response of all. Katie showing up. So Eddie basically says not applicable, and Wendy says none, and Mia's like, I think that Wendy has programmed him to be Team Wendy, and I think that like he has a very insecure wife that needs to work on that. But then the big...
Yeah, I mean, totally, because then the answer, she's like, don't you dare write me a, what does that say? And he tells her the answer, so she writes the same thing. So when they find out that they have the same answer, they cheer like they got it right. You two are cheaters.
And also, Wendy cheated because it's supposed to be in one word, and she used three words and overlapped with one of them, so it was a total cheat, which I think is... listen, I know we're trying to expand the idea of what a professor's all about, but cheating is not one of them, okay? You gotta, like, you can't endorse cheating if you're a professor. So, but the real incendiary question is, where did you meet your spouse? So they all have, like, various answers, but Mia and G, they answer strip club, and everyone's like, huh? And Mia's like, I was a bartender. And then that's when Ashley, she tells us, girl, you're a stripper. The only thing that can explain a clitoral reconstructive surgery is strippers need to make a clap on stage. You're a stripper. So we can already sense this is going to become the next like scandal with Mia. Was she a stripper?
Yeah. G tried, you know, the winners are... who cares, really? So then Karen's like, well, this was a huge success, and it was so revealing, but I see Mia little do a little wiggle, and I'm not sure if she was just a bartender. And Candace says, if you were a bartender, I'm a white man.
That was acting. Did you like that? Thank you so much. Look forward to me and my new pilot called... Well, it doesn't have a name yet, because we're looking for a distributor, but look forward to it on Craigslist TV.
I love that that Mia was a stripper. I love it. And yeah. I hope that this whole thing isn't like a let's shame the stripper thing.
No.
Like everybody isn't on their damn internet jerking off to whatever.
No, okay? Of course not. That's very retrograde to do that. And in fact, I think Wendy was already on Twitter tweeting up a storm, digging herself into a hole, saying that she's not shaming a stripper. She's shaming a liar. A liar. So
yeah,
whatever
lady.
Yeah, we'll see how that
goes. Okay, well, this was a fun episode.
It was so good. Thank you all for listening. We're going to be back with Shaws of Sunset next. So make sure you're subscribed so that way you don't have to do anything. The episode will just come right to your little podcast application. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll talk to you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.